Welcome, everyone, on this amazing early spring day. I don't know about you, Claire, but here the sun is shining and the sky is blue and all the birds are doing their excited reporting and calling songs of joy for the spring that's wanting to push through all the buds on the trees. Welcome, everyone. It's good to be with you again. It's been quite a while since we last sat in this Zoom room, this space for a podcast. And a lot has happened in the depths of winter and in the time between when we have seen each other last, when we've heard from each other last. So just wanted to give you a warm welcome back to this tent, this nomadic tent at the edge of the inner and the outer, the crossroads of the inner and the outer that Starter Culture calls home for the podcast, Co-Evolutionary Culturing, Composting, Power Over Culture from the Inside Out. And I'm here with Claire Milne today. My name is Sarah McFarland, and we're really happy to have you tuning in. So I'd like to begin here with connecting to earth and to mystery, crafting a circle, calling in a circle of support, of guides and allies who are in cahoots with us, who are working with us to transform civilization trauma. And that includes the four directions. The rising sun in the east, and midday in the south, the sun setting in the west, and midnight in the north. I ask for our oldest ancestors, all four elements, earth, water, fire, and air, to be present with us here. And again, to support the cycles of transformation, the life-death-life cycle of transformation that we are in service to as Starter Culture. And I invite all of our wise and well ancestors, those who have been through these kinds of upheavals and transformations of culture and social change, rises and falls of empires, and way all the way back to those of us who, of our ancestors who knew how to be in deep reciprocal relationship with Earth. Please, all of you, guide us, bless this conversation, and may anything that we speak here benefit all beings in this time of great upheaval and crisis.
Thank you, Sarah, for such a beautiful beginning and calling in for our conversation. I can feel the palpable difference, actually, just being in such good company, calling in so many others to be with us and remind us that this conversation that we're just beginning now isn't just about us. It's about something so much bigger, so much bigger, so much more important than just us. And so here we are. Our conversation today, we are after much exploring, we decided that perhaps the most useful thing we can do to start with is to share a little bit about ourselves and how is it that we've come to choose to dedicate ourselves and the work that we're up to through Starter Culture. How is it that we've come to choose to do this particular work? What is it about the particularity of each of us and the journey that we've been on and still are on that has led to this work through Starter Culture being the thing that we're dedicating ourselves to? And thankfully, there are billions of others dedicating themselves to the particularity of what they're here to offer. And so, yeah, we just thought we'd take a little bit of time here at the beginning of this ongoing conversation with many of you out there of, why this? Why composting power of a culture? Why relational culture? Why transforming civilization trauma? Why are these things that we're so devoted to? Just gonna throw a question at you, Sarah. Just a really simple question of like, what is it that about your life, the particularity of your life and how you find yourself now in that life, that's led to you choosing to devote your time to transforming civilization trauma, composting power over culture, and finding ways to co-create relational culture? Like, what is it that's led you to devoting your time as starter culture?
What a beautiful question. Thank you. I ask myself quite often, one of the biggest questions I can ask myself right now is, what is Earth up to? And when I ask that, I mean all of Earth community, all of us living with, as, within, on this blue-green pearl. And the second question I ask is, how might I participate? How might I co-create in the dreaming, the larger story that is happening here on this Earth? How might I co-create a world that is in service to life, generativity, creativity, relational culture, what we call the life-death-life cycle? I ask myself these questions because I want to disrupt my habitual way of thinking. They're like, you know, koans that kind of shock me out of protective strategy thinking. Like, what if the humans are not in charge? What if I'm not in charge of my life? You know, what's Earth up to? That we can simultaneously hold the paradox of the crisis and the horror and the difficulty and the misery and the dying, as well as the beauty and the larger deep time picture of cyclical transformation that Earth is. Okay, so you asked me about me and I went really big, which we tend to do. So now I'm gonna zero in. As a queer both and creature, as one who has been tracking my own personal birth trauma, attachment trauma, relational trauma through my life and been on my own healing journey, as well as being on a great journey of soul transformation and digesting the wounding that, I mean, each of us receive wounding, part of the contract of coming to Earth and having a life, part of composting that or healing the wounding and composting the fallout from that wounding. What I've discovered is this entire way of being in relationship with the world that is based on what we're now calling power over culture, that I grew up in, that I learned how to be in, that I participate in still, unfortunately, as we do. And some of that has to do with growing up as a white middle-class person and the responsibility and ownership of that power and privilege. Some of it has to do with being a queer creature. And some of it has to do with my very personal trauma, and some of it has to do with the heartbreak and horror of the, usually the thing that really gets me the most is war. And being an American person, unfortunately, my country has a lot to do with many wars in the world, including the current ones. So yeah, I think that's enough for a first round. I'm going to pass back to you with the same beautiful question of, you know, what is moving through your life now and this time around since this beginning that has you dedicating yourself to these beautiful and impossible bundle of magical possibilities we're calling composting power over culture to relational culture.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I mean, it's one of those questions in a way that kind of just opens up kind of this whole Pandora's box of kind of the many, 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 many infinite threads that have kind of led me to where I am right now. And, you know, a way of answering that question would be that kind of, I think it's kind of a classic kind of frame in a way of, well, you know, I'm wanting and I am creating, co-creating exactly the things that I never got. You know, when I look at my life unfolding and unraveling and the difficulties that I've experienced along the way and the longings, you know, really the work that's coming through me and through us is this kind of intricate kind of offering around, you know, what was missing in the times when I was growing up? Like what did I so need but didn't get? So that would be one way of answering it, is that feeling like it's really like looking out, what's kind of missing? Like what's on that evolutionary edge? What's what's not being seen and that's so needed, you know, in these times. And then another way of answering the question, which is a much longer answer, and I definitely will not get to say all of the things right now, but I'll have a go, is my own relationship with power. And, you know, it never fails to fascinate me, never fails to reveal more to me. And I guess one way of kind of explaining that or describing that would be to say something along the lines of, until my mid-30s, I'm almost 50 now, and so until my mid-30s, you know, my whole life was just so dedicated to, you know, finding ways to contribute to challenging social and environmental injustice, and to find ways to bring about social environmental change, to be a good ally, you know, to recognizing just how much pain and suffering and inequity there is in the world, and just feeling so much passion around that and just throwing myself into it to the point that I made myself incredibly ill through burnout. And a combination of that burnout, along with a bunch of kind of conflict and unexpected happenings in my mid-30s, basically led to life really breaking down through me, you know, like having quite a kind of dark night of the soul that lasted longer than I'd have liked it to have done. And that really led to me kind of having that choiceless choice to kind of really examine what ended up being very much this ongoing inquiry into my relationship with power. And, you know, I just hadn't realized until then the ways in which what we're calling power over culture showed up in me. You know, I was so committed to bringing about change. Like, I couldn't have been more passionate, you know, I couldn't have been more devoted. And yet I was totally oblivious to how I was actually acting out those same dynamics in how I was going about trying to make change happen, and how I was going about relating with other people, communicating with other people, treating other people, you know. And you know, it was so humbling and painful, and yet so transformatory. And I'm so grateful for that being the path that was opened up, because the quality of my relationships now is radically different. And the way that I go about approaching change is a lot more humble, a lot more aware of both the limitations of how much I can actually do in the world, but also the power that I have in the world, both, you know. And so this path has also opened up the immense paradox of what it is to live in these times. I mean, some examples that may be useful to kind of include here are, you know, before I kind of stepped onto this path of examining and kind of cleaning out my own power and learning how to be more relational and help create relational culture, examples would be things like, you know, I was just on default to blame. Like, you know, my whole mindset was just constantly making everybody else wrong, you know, whether that was politicians, whether it was leaders of any flavor, you know, whatever, whether they were kind of trying to bring about social change or whether they were working, you know, for corporations, leaders full stop just were problematic. You know, my fellow activists, it was like my mind was just constantly on, you know, where are we not getting it right? Where are they not getting it right? Like, you know, calling people out the whole time and being so judgmental. And that was just my default. And, you know, I had no idea until being kind of thrown into this choiceless choice of exploring my own relationship with power, I had no idea of just how toxic that was actually and how counterproductive it was. Because, I mean, people rarely respond well to being blamed and made wrong, right? You know, and it is just more of the same power over and drama triangle kind of consciousness that is at the heart of all of the kind of aspects of the crises that we're currently in, which, you know, we're calling civilization trauma to be that real underbelly. Another example would be how I was just completely unattuned. You know, I didn't have a capacity for emotional attunement in that way of being able to kind of feel the impact that my behavior has on others and the impact their behavior has on me. And at a very kind of experiential, visceral, embodied level, and heart level. And so the way that I would communicate would completely squash other people. You know, I had no perception of how the way I was communicating as a white, middle-class, educated, articulate, intelligent human being. I had no idea of how kind of coming forward in a very passionate way. You know, I had no idea of the impact that had on others and how that just shut most people down, and that they lost touch with their own truth, and, you know, found it very hard to actually kind of have a conversation with me because I was so convinced of my rightness, you know, and unaware of how this kind of cluster of privilege meant that I felt I had the entitlement to just kind of dump that reality on other people and take up all the space and presume at a very deep level that I was right and I knew the best way or the right way. And there are plenty more that I could give as examples of how power over was showing up in me. But yeah, I mean, the essence of it is really, you know, every day getting more and more real with how it's this relationship with power that sits at the heart of how we are in the world and whether we're contributing to something that actually is creating something different to the mess we're in now, or whether actually we're just replicating the same consciousness that's created this crisis. And, you know, for me, in my experience, it is our relationship with power that really dictates, you know, which way of that vicious virtuous circle we're kind of contributing to. Yeah, that's my first offering. And I'd love to hear from you kind of, yeah, some of your own versions of that, I guess, of kind of like where the intricacies have come in for you around, yeah, what's led you to realizing why this focus on power and civilization trauma as its kind of underbelly. Yeah, why power?
Yeah, there's two things I want to say here. The first one is, one of the earliest griefs I can remember, and one that still has me, which is for me now what I would call civilization trauma, the traumatizing event, as well as the result of civilization trauma, as well as the intergenerational passing on of that trauma, is not having been born into an earth-cherishing, what we would call indigenous community. The grief at that loss, and the longing for that longing for that level of home and that level of relationship. I felt my whole life, not only in my own being, but I see as the illusion of separation or separability, as Vanessa Machado de Oliveira calls it in Hospicing Modernity, separability from Earth, that we say nature is over there, something we go out into, rather than knowing we are and are always in and within nature, that in fact there's no such thing as nature. There's Earth community. No, there's nothing else other than that. So the kind of the heartbreak and the grief of that, as well as the yes, I also went through a blaming phase of like, here's what's wrong with the world. You know, here's how you all are messing it up. Here's all how you all have messed it up and messed it up before I was born. And here's the, you know, where did this problem start? And kind of getting sort of obsessed with trying to figure out the beginning. Like, did it start with agriculture? Or did it start with, you know, where did it start in with the Romantic period? Like, where did it start? Who did it? Whose fault is it? And how do we fix it? You know, I'm a person who really wants to fix things, which is still about controlling, right? Mm. Which is still this expression of power over. Mm. It's like, even if I have the best intentions, you know, and I want to make it better, you know, if I'm trying to fix it and I haven't the idea of how it's supposed to be, then I'm actually trying to control the situation. Yeah, so I just wanted to speak that piece of grief and my own personal experience of that grief, as well as I think we all have that grief, whether we're conscious of it or not, because we all live in this kind of original attachment trauma, I guess, of the separation from that our culture requires, however culture requires and maintains and supports and passes on and continues. And so I guess the power piece that I want to bring in here is then also the flip side of that, of this, the power of using Earth as a resource, of mm-hmm. extracting, of clear-cutting forests, of mining and, you know, mountaintop removal, and all the kind of ways that humans have, with our incredible capacity to imagine and our incredible forward-thinking consciousness, planned, you know, more and more detailed ways of extracting and destroying, quote, resources And the personal piece is how I participate in that still, right? That I buy food wrapped in plastic. Food wrapped in plastic is wrapped in oil, of million years old trees, of driving a car that I went to the gas station yesterday and put gas into, that I fly home to visit my family from Europe, fly back to the United States, that I buy plastic clothes, that I, all the things, all the ways that I'm every single day complicit and participate in that resource extraction. And the ways I numb myself to that through screens, sugar, all more products of modernity's like modernity's obsessive need to fill the void left by that kind of disconnection by producing more things that create more disconnection, in fact. The dependence, the true dependence on oil, really, and on the extractive methods that keep our the motor going, literally. Which is part of why I'm so also committed to ancestral work and, remembering, healing the line my lineages back to the time when my people were indigenous. My people knew how to be in relationship with the Baltic Sea and with the mountains and the highlands in Scotland and, the places my people are from, as well as doing the hard work every day of confronting myself of what I'm consuming, what I'm buying, and forgiving myself when I don't, manage to live up to my own high standards. And also, and I think this is the relational culture piece, it's like, and none of us can do it alone. Like, I can't single-handedly step out of modernity. Firstly, we need each other. We're herd animals. And so self ostracization to step out of modernity is like, that there's a reason solitary confinement is the most, one of the most awful prison punishments, right? And secondly, the wounding happens through relationship. So the healing needs to also happen in relationship. And we can't, not one single one of us can know, but all of us can co-create with Earth. So that's the piece for me around the relational culture, power over culture to relational culture, that I can't do it alone. I don't want to do it alone. It's not possible to do it alone. And I'm never alone anyway, because if I remember and recognize that I'm part of this Earth community and feel myself and experience myself that way, my capacity for relationship expands immeasurably.
And you speak of both the ways in which kind of power over culture shows up, like you were saying, of the kind of the distraction to not have to feel the pain of compliance in modernity and the kind of the inner critic that can be harsh and make you wrong. And then this, the kind of the thread that's woven through there of like you started with the grief, kind of not being born into an earth cherishing culture, and like the heartbreak that you feel in regards to your complicity and something in just noticing the difference of quality and the different impact that is felt when we slip into the more power over flavors, whether it's blaming ourselves or others, versus allowing ourselves to feel the grief, and grief being such an important part of cultivating relational culture. And it's like that, I think for both of us, it's been such a huge thread to in our journeys around this work, around recognizing the role of power and civilization trauma, in what's going on in the world now and has been for a long time. It's like recognizing how this capacity to really allow ourselves to be touched by, impacted by, to feel the vulnerability, to feel the fear, to feel the grief, to feel the rage, but to feel it all and not let that define us and take over us, but to allow our actions in the world to be from a natural movement of the heart, touched by how we're impacted by whatever it is that we or anybody else is doing, rather than reacting to different parts of the drama triangle as they show up in us, whether that's as the victim, the persecutor, or the rescuer, or just simply distracted and absent. Yeah, I feel really touched hearing you give specific examples of that, and I feel like that's a strong thread that we tend together, is this kind of, paying attention. In fact, worth mentioning that, we've got a tomorrow, our core team, there's three of us in the core team, we're we have a regular hearth tending kind of gathering that we have, where we pay attention to like how our own relational culture is going, what needs tending, and tomorrow we're going to be focusing on what we're tracking in ourselves as to how we might be contributing to aspects of drama triangle consciousness within our collaboration. And I just feel so grateful. I mean, that was your suggestion as the hearth tender, and I just feel so grateful that that's what we're doing. You know, it's like that's a way of tending to the cultivation of relational culture, you know, that we're weaving in, is this kind of just this constant paying attention. How am I? And it's so humbling. It's so humbling. And, you know, when I go through that tracking process in myself, you know, in preparation for our very real conversation tomorrow, you know, I feel the parts of me that are like kicking off and don't want to admit that I've done X, Y, or Z, or that, you know, it's not even that I've necessarily done something. It's just the thoughts that I might be entertaining, or the, you know, and it's just so humbling to watch the different parts of me not want to admit that that's been happening through me. And then know that the way to deepen our relationships, the way to repair relationships, and the way to be the most, you know, transformative in our collaborations is to take responsibility for how power over culture is showing up in me. And that in itself is relational culture, you know, the kind of the owning, the recognizing and the owning of power over culture within us. That in itself is relational culture. Like, we've probably all been on the receiving end of somebody doing that, you know, owning their part in something. Just the relief in our system, right? The relief and the trust that comes when somebody is able to admit to something and say sorry.
Thank you. Listening to you, the thing that comes up for me also to add here is this kind of, you know, we don't have the answers. Again, like, this isn't about, we're professionals and we're experts and we know how to do this, and therefore you have to come on our seminars or you have to come and do these things with us because we know how to do it. It's more like, come and grapple with us. Come and be in conversation with us. Come, whether you work within starter culture, that's our stance, you know, or we're in relationship with other collaborators, or we're, you know, the thing, the storytelling that I'm offering in a couple of days, or programs that we're going to be offering later in the year. It's we have particular experiences that, and we've been tracking particular threads, but we're not the only one who are tracking these things, and we have a particular lens through which we see it. And you know, if that resonates for you, we'd love to have you come and join us in whatever way feels available to you, you know, regarding your resources and capacities. Yeah, just to presence that of like, we don't know the answers. And we don't know what should happen in the world. You know, relational culture doesn't have, I guess what I'm trying to say is, like, we don't have a definition or a way that relational culture has to look in a certain way. It's more about being in the emergent conversation that you were just speaking of, like ownership, tracking that in myself, owning that, telling myself the truth so that I could then go to the person and apologize for the impact that my actions have had. You know, that's this alive relational way of being and doing that we're wanting to point towards as maybe as the way through, more than anything, whatever this transformational time is, however long it takes, you know, that the only way through is together in this relational ways of being.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm aware that one of the things that comes up a lot in our conversations with each other and with others is, you know, who is our work actually for? You know, who are we wanting to be in conversation with, who alongside, and, you know, who are these conversations kind of aimed at, and programs that we're offering? And the thing that always comes to both of us, you know, is this really recognizing the particularity. You know, I started with that. It's like, each of us in the world are very particular creatures, and we've all had very particular life circumstances. And, you know, both of us have experienced an immense amount of privilege, you know, a huge amount of privilege, you know, being able to walk into a room or onto the train or into whatever public space it is with white skin. I mean, there's no disputing, you know, there is a huge difference, you know, to showing up and living in this world as people with white skin versus people with black or brown skin. It's like there's no disputing that. And And the same could be said for many other flavors of our privilege. You know, we've both received, you know, what in modernity would be seen as a good education, which kind of means we've been well educated into power over culture and how to use it at the, you know, in, to the best interests of those who already benefit from the system. You know, but there are many things that we could name that we're, you know, very aware of that kind of mean that we've had the particular life experiences that we've had. And that what this means is that we're really passionate about working alongside and supporting others that also have an experience of some degree of power and privilege, and who really get that probably one of the most potent things we can offer in the world today with these current times is to clean up our relationships with power. If we do have unearned power and we have benefited from unearned privilege that contributes to the unjust system that we're living in, like, probably the most potent thing we can do is clean up our own power, so that the way that we're coming into our relationship with making change happen and trying to help create a different world and a different way of being and trying to move beyond these horrific systems of injustice that cause so much suffering, you know, is by cleaning out our power, so that we can really, really understand the impact of all of this conditioning that we've been completely unaware of, you know, and that just feels so normal and feels just like, oh, this is what it is to be me in the world. But it's like so much of that is as a result of this kind of unexamined privilege that we're not aware of. So yeah, it feels important to include that for us. You know, we're under no illusion that the work that we're bringing is not going to be for everyone. It's really not. And that's not what we're trying to do. You know, we're just so grateful that there are so many other people out there doing their thing and working in the ways that they're working, because that then means we're free to get on and do the bits that we're here to do. You know, that it would be bonkers for me to try and do something that I don't have experience in. You know, this is where we have experience. This is the life we've lived. And so that's the realm within which we're offering. And, you know, often have to grapple with a kind of the parts of us that kind of want to be the ones working on the front line, you know, with the most disadvantaged kind of communities and identities. You know, of course, there are parts of us that kind of feel like that's what we should be doing. And then there's a wiser part of us that kind of just knows that the particularity of what we're here to do is something different. And it is all around, you know, those of us with degrees of power and privilege, composting that into something that's way more regenerative in the world. Yeah.
Because our dependence upon the power over ways of being are what are fueling the system to continue to create the imbalances of power, of the horrible violence, the ways of war and extraction, and which poor folks of all kinds are the ones who are unfortunately the ones who suffer the most at the hands of. Yeah, thank you for articulating that so clearly and so beautifully. As we finish up here, the last thing I want to add is to just circle that or underline that cleaning up of ones of our power and as people of, you know, relative power and privilege is why we name our work inner-led change. Because that's the inner work that we're interested in doing. It's not I'm going to check out and go kind of hang out in my inner world and navel gaze for the rest of my life and be happy while everybody else is suffering. It's more about doing this inner work so that the way we show up in the world is different, and that our capacity to make real change within the world that we live in, beyond the systems or expanded beyond the systems that we live in. That's what we see as being the only way it's possible, actually.
Yeah, it reminds me of probably my favorite quote in the whole wide world. if you've come here to help us, then you're wasting your time. But if you've come because your liberation is tied up with mine, with ours, then let's work together. Mm-hmm. Leela Watson, an Aboriginal elder and activist. And that to me is that's kind of what we're up to, really, you know, recognizing that, you know, even though, yes, we have been born into this world with, you know, relative amounts of power and privilege, the way that we are able to serve in the world, serve something so much bigger than ourselves and what our strategic minds can fathom, is by leaning into how this system fails everyone, you know, It's not that there are winners and losers here. It's just the degree of obviousness of that and how much in relationship we are with it. And so there's something about both of us, you know, the kind of that interweave between how power and privilege show up in us, as well as our kind of choiceless choice to lean into where the difficulty is and where civilization trauma shows up through us. And, you know, for both of us, it's been a long old journey, you know, to be healing trauma as it shows up through us. And yeah, we'll spend more time, I'm sure, in the future talking about our own journeys with that. But yeah, there's something about really recognizing that that allyship is only possible when we lean into our own vulnerability and how the system is failing us too.
Thank you, my dear. Thank you so much. And thank you to all the beings who have been alongside us during this conversation. Wise and well ancestors and elemental beings and guides and allies from the four directions who are alongside us in this journey of composting power over culture to relational culture. Yeah, and thank you to all of you listening and being alongside us as well.
This is Co-Evolutionary Culturing, composting power over culture from the inside out. And we are Starter Culture at www.starterculture.net. Please check out our website for programs and storytelling events. Sign up for our newsletter and check out our approach to change with vital ingredients and design principles for cultivating relational culture in these times of crisis and collapse. And if you're so moved, please join the conversation on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Instagram to grapple with us at the crossroads of inner-led and outer change. The music today is by Laura Brady from Ren Music, ren-music.com. The song is called Strong Ones from her album Stitch and Ocean. Available wherever you listen to music. Go well and see you soon.
Sleep.